Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 38. In this chapter, Jeremiah is rescued from a mud-filled cistern by a caring court official named Ebed-Melech. Through all of these trying circumstances, Jeremiah continues to speak the truth to King Zedekiah. Let's begin by reading the first six verses of Jeremiah chapter 38. Now Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldeans shall live. His life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." Therefore the princes said to the king, "Please let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, and the hands of all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm." Then Zedekiah the king said, "Look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 38, with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 37, we saw that Jeremiah was falsely accused and put in prison. The prison was some kind of vaulted subterranean cell called a dungeon and located beneath the house of Jonathan, an official scribe. Look back at chapter 37, verses 15 and 16. "Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, where they had made that the prison. Then Jeremiah entered the dungeon and vaulted cell, and Jeremiah remained there many days." Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 15 and 16. We saw at the end of chapter 37 that King Zedekiah, at least temporarily, listened to reason with Jeremiah and had him removed from that dungeon and placed under house arrest in the court of the guardhouse and given a daily ration of one loaf of bread, which was significant in view of the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. Now here at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 38, we see that Jeremiah continued to faithfully preach the word of the Lord, which he knew the king and the people did not want to hear. The word that Jerusalem would fall to the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, and that there would be death by sword, by famine, and by plague. The only way to preserve life was to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian forces. Sure enough, some of King Zedekiah's officials heard Jeremiah continuing to preach and prophesy this message of doom, and they did not like it. They reported this to King Zedekiah, and true to his vacillating, spineless character, King Zedekiah, like the future Pontius Pilate, told his officials that Jeremiah was in their hands. They could do what they wanted with him. As a result, Jeremiah was thrown into an empty cistern, which was in the court of the guardhouse. This cistern was used to collect water and at this point had a layer of thick mud at the bottom into which Jeremiah sank. The officials were hoping that Jeremiah would die of, quote, natural causes. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 38. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord has his Ebed-Melechs strategically placed. The Lord has his Ebed-Melechs strategically placed. Verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning now with verse 7. "Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, or one of the officers, who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, 'My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city.' Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Help for Jeremiah came from a most unexpected source. A certain foreigner from ancient Ethiopia named Ebed-Melech, meaning servant of the king, went out of his way to speak to King Zedekiah about the welfare of Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech is called a eunuch in verse 7 in some translations, which probably just means a male court official, although some of these attendants were literally eunuchs. In any case, like a good Samaritan, this foreign court official, with some risk to his own position in life, went directly to King Zedekiah and pleaded for the life of Jeremiah. Again, we see King Zedekiah changing his mind, and in this case, listening to reason once again, and allowing Ebed-Melech to rescue Jeremiah out of the mud-filled cistern. Now, do you think this was all by chance? Of course not. Under God's sovereign control, King Zedekiah just happened to be in a receptive mood, and Ebed-Melech just happened to be one of King Zedekiah's court officials. Ebed-Melech knew exactly what to do and organized a team to safely and caringly get Jeremiah out of harm's way. You know, the Lord has his Ebed-Melechs today, and they are strategically placed in God's sovereign ways. Illustration. Some years ago, we were having a Bible study in our home on a cold winter evening, and our furnace broke down. There just happened to be a guy attending the Bible study that night who was a furnace expert. Similar scenarios have happened to us in reference to our vehicles. I'm sure many of you could share other examples. The Lord has his Ebed-Melechs strategically placed. Doctrinal point number two. Believers do not have to tell everything to everyone. Believers do not have to tell everything to everyone. Verses 14 through 28. Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning now with verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life." And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they abuse me." But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, 'Your close friends have misled you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have deserted you.' So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, 'Declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you,' do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I presented my request before the king that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then all the princes came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. Now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. We see in these verses that Jeremiah continued to be faithful to the Lord when he was brought before King Zedekiah once again. The message was still the same. Jerusalem would be given over to the Babylonians and burned. The only way to escape with your life was to surrender to the Babylonians. Jeremiah assured King Zedekiah that he would not be tortured by the Jews who had already surrendered. Verse 19. But if Zedekiah did not surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, then he and his family and his bitter harem would be turned over to the Babylonians. Verses 23 and 24. We know that King Zedekiah did not heed Jeremiah's advice from the Lord. At the end of the chapter, we see that King Zedekiah ordered Jeremiah not to tell Zedekiah's officials what they had talked about. Jeremiah was to tell them that they talked about his safety and welfare in the court of the prison or guardhouse. Jeremiah did as he was instructed when questioned by the officials who were out to get him. Now, was this a lie? No. Jeremiah and King Zedekiah had talked about Jeremiah's safety and welfare in verses 15 and 16. Let's read those verses again. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life." Jeremiah did not lie, but he did not share everything with these cutthroat officials. I think it can be shown from the Bible that it's never right to lie, but you don't have to give out all information to everyone who questions you. In fact, sometimes to conceal information from wrongdoers is the right course of action. Believers do not have to tell everything to everyone. What about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 38? Don't forget the rags. Don't forget the rags. Do you save old rags? We do, because rags can be used in a lot of home projects. However, I don't think that I ever used old rags the same way Ebed-Melech did to avoid rope burn and make Jeremiah's rescue from the cistern less painful. Verses 11 through 13. Ebed-Melech not only risked his own life to save Jeremiah, but he thought of the little things to ease the pain and bring comfort and encouragement to Jeremiah. We should do the same when the Lord directs us to help someone in time of need. It may be a cup of coffee. It may be some privacy. It may be a rest break on a long trip or from a hard job. It may be a warm hat or a pair of gloves. Be an Ebed-Melech. Don't forget the rags.